What assurances do we have? No, wait. What assurances do Travis Williams and Ben Cherington have that the payroll will go up when the time is right? Good morning to you. Good Thursday morning. I'm Dan Kovacevic of DK Pittsburgh Sports. This is Daily Shot of Pirates, which comes your way every Monday through Friday, bright and early in the morning. If you're into football and or hockey, we also have daily shots of Steelers and Penguins that I do. Williams met yesterday in Bradenton, Florida, with the traveling contingent of the media that covers the Pirates, and that included our Alex Stumpf of DK Pittsburgh Sports. You can find the whole article breaking down the session on our site. There's a lot of worthwhile stuff there, but I'm not so naive as to think that anybody would delve that much deeper than the payroll stuff. So that's kind of where we're going to go today as well, because it really is issue number one. I don't bury my head in the sand over it. I get put off, to say the least, when I'll write about baseball or I'll talk about baseball and all anybody comes back with is payroll. That's a little dispiriting at times. But I never pretend that payroll isn't the number one thing with most Pittsburgh baseball fans, and that most people around here won't have any faith restored in this baseball club or the ownership, specifically Bob Nutting, until the payroll swings violently in the other direction, maybe even irrationally in the other direction. And one of the points that I've made along the way is that Williams, who had a really good job with the NHL's Islanders and was in a really good spot in that job, he was laying this out for me at the time that he made the move in some significant detail. Very short version, the Islanders are about to move into a brand new arena next year at the place where the Belmont Stakes are run on Long Island. Massive complex, beautiful new facility that's going to be the central location, not just for hockey on Long Island, but also shows and everything. It's a great, great position to be in. He was in a position to succeed. And who wouldn't want that? You know, he was going to be a winner up there no matter what he did. Let's put it that way. But he left that. Even though he hadn't been there for very long, he left that for what any reasonable person would describe as a lateral move, to come to the Pirates to be their team president and CEO. The reason that he did that, as he tried to describe for me in the most passionate terms, was that he too wants to see the Pirates succeed. He was part of the Penguins' success, their recent two Stanley Cups. A big part of their business operations, part of their growth operations or expansion operations when he left for the Islanders. And that wasn't a lateral move. He moved up to go to the Islanders. He wanted to do this. And in doing so, yes, he too asked Nutting the questions that you have of Nutting. How are we going to do this? Are we going to have the support? Are we going to have the financial support when it gets there? Nobody's expecting, at least not anybody who's reasonable or informed, is expecting the Pirates to just snap their fingers and come up with some $150 million payroll and, you know, boom, like that, compete with the Cardinals and the Cubs, let alone the Dodgers and the Yankees and so forth. I mean, that's just, it's not even naive, it's just stupid. It's displaying a complete ignorance as to how sports ownerships work Oh, but he's a billionaire. It doesn't matter. There's no owners anywhere in pro sports. Not one. Not one who spend from their own pocket into the team. It doesn't exist. Not one example of this can be cited anywhere. Everything that's spent on the team comes from operational revenue. It comes from revenue that the team generates, or through the league or whatever else, but it's in-house. It's money that's in-house. No exceptions. Oh, and by the way, the Steelers and Penguins aren't exceptions either. Before the Penguins had a salary cap, they had the lowest payroll in hockey. But no one was demonizing Mario Lemieux over it at the time. They just understood. That's just how it is. Boy, the NHL sure could use a cap. Here, we don't bother with that. Oh, they'll never have a cap in baseball. So the owner must be evil. Williams did his homework before he made this lateral move, before he lifted his family up yet again. He dug deep. He checked on Nutting in a lot of different ways. He's known the man for a long time. And my belief is that he and Cherington both received assurances that if they do this, this, and this, then this, this, and this about the payroll will be available to you. No one is going to tell me what that is or what that looks like. No one. I've got only so many different ways I can ask these questions behind the scenes. They are not going to divulge this information. They're not going to divulge it privately, and they most certainly aren't going to divulge it publicly, because they see doing that, whether it's the right or wrong approach, they see doing that as showing their cards to players, to agents, and everything else, and they'd rather not do that. If they go public and say, hey, look, we're flush with cash that's sitting around here, and then they approach, let's say, Ke'Bryan Hayes' agent and say, we'd really love to get Key signed to an 8-year deal worth da-da-da-da-da-da, and Key's agent says, well, listen, I just read on this website that you're storing or housing X amount of dollars for the future. Well, my guy's part of your future, so how about if you give X amount of dollars to him? I might take a different approach if I were the Pirates on this, but I'm not them. And this is what they've chosen. Williams, in his meeting with reporters yesterday, said, and I'm quoting directly here, we're confident that in the right moment, we will have the resources available to us in order to be able to get us to a point where we have a championship caliber team on the field. This comment will inspire no one. It's just not like rah-rah material. But I believe him when he says it, based on everything that I have heard and everything that I saw with my own eyes about both him and Cherington leaving the good jobs they had to come here to do this. Maybe we'll all somehow get super lucky and baseball will have a big, dramatic, prolonged labor shutdown and it'll emerge with a salary cap and the Pirates will be in the same position as everyone else, arguably better, toward winning a championship because they won't be tied to massive future contracts. Maybe that'll happen. I'm still not betting that it will. But even if it doesn't, Williams and Cherington didn't make the commitment to come here based on nothing. That's, to me, the most powerful, glaring thing out of this whole scenario? That's the part that I come back to anytime I wonder, hang on a second, what's this all about? Are they just in cahoots with this guy or whatever? I come back to that. Neither of them was with this organization 15 months ago. They came here for a reason. They were told something. They were assured something. When we come back, just one question. Time for just one question. If you'd like to leave one, you can do so by visiting DK Pittsburgh Sports. Find the article that encompasses this podcast and leave it right there in comments. This segment of Daily Shot is brought to you by our good friends at Mike's Beer Bar. They're located on Federal Street, directly across from PNC Park. Mike has more than 500 beers on tap, including from more than 50 local breweries. Open for business. Stop in and say hello. Tell Mike we sent you. Mike's Beer Bar. Today's Just One Question comes from our friend Gary Morgan, who says, hi, Dan. So Derek Shelton has mentioned that he believes center field to be the easiest for infield players to pick up because the ball is in front of them. And I get that, but center field is also the take charge position out there, and we saw it lead to issues just last year with Cole Tucker, who would repeatedly defer to the left fielder and right fielder when it should have been his ball. Do you have any specific thoughts on this? Because I truly don't agree with his thought process here. Gary, I can tell you that it is a universally accepted stance in baseball. Shelton's not breaking any ground here. The players themselves will tell you that the hardest thing about playing the outfield is reading the ball off the bat. There are other aspects to it, obviously. Coming in on the ball, going sideways on the ball, learning how to cross over with the other outfielder when there's a ball in kind of a no man's land. Picture the north side notch at PNC Park. Going back to the wall, hitting the right cutoff man, all that other stuff that you know. But the hardest part is reading the ball off the bat. And as soon as you switch to the left or right, you're dealing with the ball coming off the bat in an increasingly unpredictable way, meaning it's going to slice, it's going to hook, it's going to get caught up in some lights. That's something else that you hear a lot about players in the minors who don't have to deal with the dreaded second deck syndrome. They come up to the majors, and all of a sudden, the ball goes up in the air, and there's a deck, you know, of fans that was not there in the minor leagues. And above that deck is a gigantic bank of super bright lights. Those are never behind home plate. Those are always toward the first and third base sides, if you think about it. And the ball can get caught up in those, too. So when you're taking a novice like a Cole Tucker from the outfield perspective and you put him somewhere in the outfield, what you're trying to do is to mitigate what are the worst things that can happen to him out there. So Tucker's not necessarily your best example that you want to give here, because the Pirates have never been super serious about having Tucker play the outfield on any regular basis. That's the main answer that I could give you to your specific question. Tucker has never been set up from a developmental standpoint to, let's see if we can really turn this kid into an outfielder. Nobody's ever done that. It's been more a case of, we just want to see him hit. We want to see at bats. We currently don't have a spot in the infield that we can just hand to him on an everyday basis, so where can we put him? Oh, wait, here. The team doesn't have a center fielder. Let's put Tucker out there. So they do that. Now, could they have moved him to left or right? I mean, they did a little bit of that stuff last summer. Again, none of it really, really mattered. What I'm trying to explain back to you here is that the center field thing really is a universal thought through baseball. And to be honest, here, if I'm spreading this out that much more, you hear a lot of this in basketball and hockey as well. A point guard loves to be in the middle of the court. They love to see everything that's going on around them and deal with a truer vision of it. You hear the same thing about hockey players when they move from winger to center. They'll all tell you, even the ones that you know should be stuck on a wing, like I'm thinking of Jared McCann from the Penguins, how much more they enjoy being at center because they feel like they can see everything and it's truer, it's a cleaner angle on stuff. The same applies to center field in baseball. Good question, Gary, as always. Thanks to everybody for listening, and we'll do this again tomorrow.
Point Park University, in the heart of downtown Pittsburgh, they understand there's no substitute for real-world experience and career-building connections. Their innovative curriculum engages students with distinctive experiential learning opportunities. Point Park's pioneering co-op program empowers qualified students to work in full-time, paid positions with their corporate partners while earning college credits. Visit pointpark.edu/works to learn more. Career ready. That's the point. Point Park University.
Your front door, your car, your gym locker, your gun. Safety is a habit. Learn more about how to keep guns safe and secure. Visit projectchildsafe.org.